Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
23andMe is one of those, I don't even know what it is. It's one of those companies. Let's just go right to the interview. On a phone line right now is Lindsay Grove, who is a senior product specialist for 23andMe. Hey, Lindsay, it's John Williams. You're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
I'm doing well, John. Thanks. How are you?
Good. I started to introduce you, but I didn't know how to say what your company does. I mean, I know it, but I don't know that I would know how to use the right words. Tell us what 23andMe does.
Yeah, definitely. So 23andMe is a direct-to-consumer genetic testing company that can provide you with information about your health and ancestry based on your DNA.
Health and ancestry. Ancestry meaning, am I Irish or German, something like that?
Yeah, exactly. So your different percentages to different populations like that. We can also tell you about your relatives, so other 23andMe members that you're related to.
What's the number one reason that people use the service? Is it, in fact, to see if they have family members out there? Is it to discover disease predisposition? What are the reasons people do it?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different reasons that people do it. I think curiosity is a big one. People wanting to either know what they like, where they came from, confirm where they came from. Also, it's really accessible right now. The fact that it's direct to consumer, you can easily get the test and find this information. And then there's also just a lot of personal reasons. For example, like adoptees, if they don't know where they came from or information about their family history or health background, they can learn all of that through here. So it can be really personal as well.
Yeah, I can understand that, especially if I was adopted and didn't know the, you know, did my family have cancer or something like that? What can I learn about my proclivity for certain illnesses?
Yeah, so we provide a variety of health reports ranging from, you know, we have like a lactose intolerance report, a sweet versus salty report. We're not a diagnostic service, so we wouldn't be able to tell you whether or not you had a, you know, genetic condition, but we would be able to provide you with different information about maybe your risk of that based on what can be seen in your DNA.
Is it a saliva swab? Is that what you do?
Yeah, it's a saliva test. So what you do is when you purchase a kit, a 23andMe kit, you give about 2 milliliters worth of your saliva into the kit and then send that back to our lab to analyze.
And then you run it through some machines. I mean, does a human being look at it and go, well, this looks like, you know, are eyeballs making these decisions or are computer programs figuring it out?
Yeah, so at our lab, basically what happens is we extract white blood cells, the DNA found in white blood cells from your saliva, and then it's processed actually on a genotyping chip that basically reads hundreds of thousands of variants on your genome. And then from that information, we can actually analyze and personalize reports based on those different variants that were analyzed.
Of course, a lot of attention was spent on this over the holiday. I think maybe because a lot of people got it or gave it as a gift, but it gets complicated when people think they were related to somebody and discover they are or are not in the way that they thought. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And that's typically an unintended result. Like, customers don't purchase that expecting to see that kind of information. But it can happen where you find out, you know, maybe a relative isn't related to you like you thought.
Well, that's why, and to be honest with you, one of the reasons why I asked, why do people do this? Is it because they want to know if they're Irish, or they want to know if their brother is really their brother? I mean, but I'm confused about that, because if I take the test, I'm not going to discover anything about my relatives unless they've also taken the same test from your company. We have to have a shared database, right?
Yeah, so you can't confirm your relationships to other people unless they've also been genotyped by 23andMe, but sometimes you can learn things through the relatives that do appear. So if you have a first cousin that's appearing that you've never met before, you might be able to learn more about your relationship to them or other relatives just by talking to them.
Right, okay, so I didn't know they took the test because I don't know these people, but you would be able to find them? You've got 5 million customers. You would be able to compare my DNA to theirs and go, by the way, you have a stepsister or brother in France or something, right?
Yeah, so basically, through our service, if you opt into the feature, you'll be able to see all other 23andMe members who share your DNA who have also opted into the feature. So if that includes, you know, a half-sibling that you didn't expect to see, you would see that there as long as both customers are opted in to the feature, or any other relatives through 23andMe that share your DNA.
But in the instances where this is problematic, like, oh no, mom and dad are arguing now because one of us isn't related, you don't discover that unless both parties agree. I guess my point is, don't check that box if you don't want this data shared, or if you don't want to know if your brother is really your brother, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we do try to make it as clear as possible and transparent to all of our customers that by choosing to participate in this tool, you may find unexpected results. So it is an action required opt-in that customers, you know, read that information, they read those disclaimers before they decide to participate in the tool and find those relationships.
And again, to be clear, both of those parties have to sign on to that, right?
Exactly. Both parties have to choose to opt in order to be visible to each other.
Now,
if one person doesn't opt in, they wouldn't appear.
Sure. And I guess, though, just to further this thought, so maybe siblings agree, and maybe one of the parents, maybe the dad goes, oh, this is going to be trouble for me. But he doesn't get to decide that. So the kids may unwittingly discover something that is going to be difficult for the father or the mother, right?
Yeah, that is true. If two customers like full siblings choose to opt in, they'll be able to see their relationship, and it is their choice from within their account. So if, you know, a parent didn't want them to opt in or didn't know that they were going to opt in, they might still see that. Those children can still see that comparison between them.
As is their right. I mean, I presume you all are relatively agnostic about that. It's too bad for that family, but that's not your problem, right?
Yeah, we do. You know, that is why we try to make it pretty transparent that you can find unexpected information. So by choosing to opt in, you're, you know, agreeing that this is information that you might see, and then making it so that each customer has the ability to do that themselves within their own account.
I suppose there are just as many instances, though, where people, lo and behold, discover that they do have a cousin or a sister or a brother, and those reunions might be wonderful things, too, right?
Yeah, and I said, you know, I mentioned that adoptees really enjoy using our service to learn more. It's especially happy for them when they're able to find those close relatives and connect with them and start to develop a family.
As many stories as we hear like that, it's amazing to me because I think I read somewhere that you all have had about 5 million people in your database. Does that number sound about right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so but there's...
Yeah, we have, yeah.
But there's 330 million of us, and there's several billion people on the planet. So it's still just a very small piece of the pie. And yet, given that, there's still a lot of connections. Imagine if everybody used your service, how many more relatives or things we would all discover.
Yeah, and the cool thing about that feature as well is that as new members join that match your DNA and opt into the feature, they're actually automatically added to your list. So when you get your results, the list of relatives that you see isn't necessarily going to be the same list of relatives there a month later. There could be more newer relatives that
sure,
have joined
sure.
that could help give you information.
Well, do you, after the fact, okay, so suppose somebody else got into the pool after I use the service, will you afterwards let me know that I'm a match for somebody else out there?
Yeah, so if new people actually appear in your list later, assuming they, you know, did the service later and chose to opt in, you can get notifications to your email saying that new relatives have been found, which encourages you to go back to your account to actually look at those results and find those relatives.
How often do you send out a message like that?
It usually happens about monthly, that those notifications, if you've chosen to stay opted into receiving those emails, every time, you know, a new relative does appear, it won't necessarily send you an email, but about monthly, it'll let you know if new members have been added.
I'm just wondering how often that happens, though, from a corporate standpoint. How many times a week or a month are you discovering these family connections?
Oh, got it. Yeah, well, new customers are getting results every single day, so it really can happen every day.
By the way, a few of our listeners are asking a question that I think Dave has on line one. Hey, Dave, you're on WGN Radio. How are you?
I'm doing fine, John, and yourself?
Good. What's your question?
Question is, talking about transparency, what is the transparency on your DNA that's found, and all of a sudden, as we've read in the news lately, cross-checking prisoners whose DNA matched out to somebody who was involved in a rape case or a murder or other situations? How does that work? Once you opt to use 23andMe or any of the other DNA services, are you giving up your privacy to a police authority?
Yeah, so customer privacy is definitely the top priority at 23andMe, and we really do respect and recognize the importance of privacy and storing your information in a secure way. So we don't sell, lease, or rent your information to anyone without your explicit consent.
It could be, could it be subpoenaed?
That's not ever something that we've had to do so far. Obviously, we really just make sure to maintain your privacy, and that is our top priority.
Yeah, I can't think off the top of my head about exactly how that would work or why the a prosecutor would ask for your database, but I'll bet someday that's going to become an issue. In fact, somebody else said, can the DNA swab be used as evidence in court? Your answer to that so far is that has not happened?
So we've had, since the company's founding, we have had 5 requests, but we have been able to successfully resist all subpoenas so far. So we disclose all of that information in transparency reports that are actually available to see online.
John says, 708, she's too polite to say it, but step-siblings aren't blood related. I don't know what that means. You do find out if I have a shared parent, right?
Yeah, so if you have a shared parent, that would be a half-sibling, which we're able to detect. So
that's what I mean.
That would be distinguished between full siblings based on the amount of DNA that you share.
You also told me off the air that you all can test for certain traits, right? Can you describe what some of the traits are that you can tell me about?
Yeah, definitely. So we have a lot of different types of trait reports, ranging from, you know, whether you have or likely to have straight or curly hair, asparagus odor detection. We have, you know, an earlobe type, so whether you're attached or detached earlobes, freckling, things like that.
I already know if my asparagus puts out a certain odor when I go. But there's a DNA marker for that, too?
Yeah, so some people actually can't smell that odor. So that is genetically based. So you can actually see from this report whether or not you're more or less likely to smell that odor after eating asparagus.
You know, you may not be the right person to ask these questions to, but are you telling me that that's there for all of us, but some of us just don't smell it? I thought some of us didn't emit it. Some of us don't smell it. That's the issue?
Yeah, so it's actually an odor detection. So basically, based on your genetics, you are more or less likely to actually smell that odor.
Holy cow. Well, that's kind of fascinating to me and maybe nobody else in the United States. But I thought it was your body chemistry was such that it didn't actually, you know, process asparagus and create the odor. Human beings do that, but not everybody smells that. Well, I find that absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool information like that in the different trait reports.
This is somebody who got the kit. They said, John, a family member just used 23andMe to try and find a niece. The sister gave the baby up for adoption at Christmas, and there she was, 73% that this person is your niece. This unraveled Thursday at Christmas. The niece used 23andMe using Facebook FB family member found her. The half-sister was notified. They connected and are planning on meeting next week. However, the birth mother doesn't know any of this, but I'm excited to meet my cousin. There's a lot of information there, but that's one of those instances where two parties agreed, and so now they're going to meet. How about that?
Yeah, I love positive stories like that.
Is it not 100%, though? This says 73%.
So our reports don't actually provide like a percentage of the likelihood of being related. What it does is actually gives you the percentage of DNA that you share. And we are very confident that that percentage is accurate through basically our segment matching algorithms used to provide those results.
Right, but if
so,
I share...
for example, like a niece and an aunt would share about 25% of their DNA.
Okay, so 73% is a pretty strong match then. If it's 73%, you're pretty confident that that's your niece, huh?
Yeah, I'm not sure where they're seeing 73%. That's not a typical percentage of DNA shared between relatives. But if they're seeing it in their DNA relatives' results, they're likely seeing a predicted niece, and that niece would share, if it was predicted as a niece, about 25% of their DNA.
I got to go. My producer says we got to wrap this up. Is there any, one last question, are there any new things that you all are going to try and reveal because of this service, because of the technology?
We're coming out with new reports all the time, which is really exciting, and we do try to make those reports always available to customers as they come out. So there's always exciting things happening.
Okay. That means you're not going to tell me. Well, I'll ask another time then. Lindsay Grove, Senior Product Specialist, 23andMe. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Boy, the world we live in.